all know, it is Memorial Day weekend, and I think most of us know what that's about, and it's not hamburgers and hot dogs and bratwursts and whatever else you put on the grill this weekend. Many of you know my oldest brother, David, was killed in Vietnam before I was even born. All three of my other brothers were also in the Army, and two of them went to combat zones multiple times. So from my earliest days, I understood what it meant to send someone's son off to a foreign place to defend and possibly die for the interests of other people that they would never meet. Of course, nowadays our daughters go too, but most of us have been touched by a gold star, either in our families or amongst our friends. If you're one of them today, would you stand up? I'll stand for my brother. We know the anguish and the pride that run together in that strange blend of emotions when you're in that situation. Even if you see, I was thinking of Tunnel to Towers and various and sundry other veterans ministries that help people, the commercials that you see how injured they are or how their wives and children are carrying on, but you see not only the anguish, but you see the pride, right? And you see the honor. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. These words are spoken by Jesus as he himself was sent on a mission to a foreign land, in this case meaning the earth, to defend and die for not just the people he would meet, but all that had gone before and those that would come after, including us. God the Father had that same blend of anguish and pride, watching his son suffer and ultimately die, to be for the first time literally completely separated from him, and to have to turn his back on him on the cross. And then the rejoicing that came in the victory as he rose again. And these were not innocent people that he came to die for. These were the people who rebelled and caused the problem in the first place. And yet he still willingly came and did all those things for us. That is the full measure of devotion. That is the deepest form of love. Now, this is not given to be wasted, either of them. Our soldiers don't die in battle so we can give our freedoms away or not use them. We honor them every time we speak our minds or go to worship freely or use any of the freedoms that we have. Well, the same is true of Jesus. He didn't die so you could say, oh, no, not me. He didn't really love me. Or he doesn't want me to be free. I'm too something bad, horrible, whatever. He didn't do that so that you could say that. He didn't mean to deliver me. He wasn't going to heal me. Yes, he did. That's what he went for all of us. So just as we honor our fallen by living our lives, which is kind of a short version of what Pastor had to say in the bulletin this morning, which I encourage you to read, we honor Jesus' sacrifice by living the lives that he died to give us. That means we need to use our access to the throne and to the Father to worship freely, to pray often, to avail ourselves of all the blessings that he has to give us, including our healings and our deliverances and our salvations and all the other things that come with it. And, bonus, the infilling of the Holy Ghost and all of the gifts and mercies and blessings and everything that comes with that. So, with him. So I encourage you this morning to think about that. Let that dawn on you a little bit as we go through the rest of this worship. And really give back that same pride, that same rejoicing in victory that we would do if any of our soldiers came home from a victorious battle. Give them a shout, give them a hand wave, give them a praise, give them what you've got, because he earned it. He really did. He earned it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just come to you this morning, and I call upon your name, and I thank you so much that you have done this thing for us, that you have provided for us in every way, shape, form, and fashion, Father, that you have worked out everything that we needed, including our salvation, that you are willing to give your Son to make that happen. Father, we thank you so much for the victory that we now live in, and Father, we celebrate that, and we thank you for that, and we give you all the praise and glory for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Lord, for being near. Thank you, Lord, for drawing us close and keeping us there. We praise your name this morning. Hallelujah. Please stay standing for just a moment. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, I'm going to be reading verses 7 through 12. If you don't have your Bibles, they'll be up on the screen. Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. The psalmist writes, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how you reveal yourself to us through it, Lord. We thank you, God, that we have a guidebook available at our fingertips. Your very word, your will written down by your servants, God. You can reveal yourself to us. You can teach us. You can guide us. We thank you for that, Lord. And I pray right now that we would all walk out of this place renewed and refreshed and knowing, Lord, that you are with us. And we would walk out of here changed by the work of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would use your servant this morning. Use my lips. I surrender to you, God. Let my words be your words this morning and every day, Lord. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Thank you, worship team, for a good job this morning. So I have 3 pages of very large print notes. Those of you who've heard me speak today can both be sometimes happy by few notes and sometimes scared to death when Polly has a few notes. But we're going to see how it goes this morning. We got the call. We got up about, I don't know, it was a little after 7, and Trish checked her phone, and there's a message from Sister Karen and says, "Sister Trish, can one of you two preach this morning? Pastor fell," and blah, blah, blah. We all know Happy's not here. So I sat down on the bed. I was just getting ready to get in the shower, and we were looking at each other and wondering. Trish said, "Well, look, you got to take a shower anyway, so just go get in the shower, and we'll think about it." So I'm in the shower and I'm praying. Yes, you can pray in the shower. It's all right. God has seen you naked before. It's okay. And I'm praying in the shower, and all I said was this: "Lord, help us. Lord, help us." Meaning Trish and I, let one of us have a word from you or something. And he did, and I'll tell you where he showed it to me. We have a little plaque hanging on our bathroom wall right outside the shower. And it has 6 or 7 scripture verses on it, and one of them went straight to my eye. And God said, "This is what I want you to talk about this morning." I said, "Okay." I asked for his help, and he helped us. And, you know, it's really sometimes easy, isn't it, to be a good Christian when we're sitting in this room, surrounded by our brothers and our sisters, And knowing that God is in this house, God is in this place, and we have come here to meet him, and this is the place we get to be truly his. But what about the other 6 days a week? Sometimes it's not as easy, isn't it? When you think about the people in America, we look around and we see who is the most depressed is often the people who are alone and lonely. We see suicide rates increase around the holidays amongst people who are celebrating holidays by themselves, and this has touched many of our own lives. Criminals, the worst criminals, the ones who behave the worst, are given what punishment? Solitary confinement, because being alone stinks. Being by yourself is no fun. We know that. Ever seen the movie Cool Hand Luke? The guys that got out of line, the guys who needed to get their minds right, where did they put them? Put them in the box by themselves. Might be the first time Cool Hand Luke was ever referenced in this church. Not sure. Because being alone is no fun. And sometimes we can be surrounded by friends and family and still feel alone. Sometimes we can live in a happy house and still feel alone. Sometimes we can sit in these comfortable purple chairs surrounded by brothers and sisters in the Lord and still feel alone. I'm here to tell you, maybe you've heard it before, I'm sure you have, you are not and never will be alone. Throughout the scripture, we read many times where the Lord says, fear not. Fear not, why? Because I'm with you. Fear not, because I'm with you. Every time God teaches us or tells us to be brave or to have courage or to stand strong, he says, because you're not alone. Because I'm with you. Every time he says not to fear, it's because he is by our side. Every time. And I'm not going to read every scripture that says where God says not to be afraid and not to feel alone, because we'd be here till 2 o'clock. It might not bother some of you, but I would get hungry. In Isaiah, though, 41:10, this was one of my favorite verses of scripture. I read this verse from that baptistry the day I got baptized. Lo, those many years ago now. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In that scripture, in the Hebrew, where it says fear not, that fear that the prophet writes at God's direction literally means to take flight or to retreat, run away from, flee from. God is saying, don't run away, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed. Don't give up hope, for I am your God. I am your God, and I am with you. He doesn't say, don't run away from what? I think that blank is for us to fill in. Don't retreat from what? Whatever it is that makes you want to run and hide. We all have something that makes us sometimes want to run and hide, don't we? God is saying, don't. Don't fear, for you are not alone. Do not fear, for I am with you. You can be 100% by yourself and you are not alone. You can be surrounded by people that you feel don't see you, and you are still not alone, for God is with you. God is with you, and he will strengthen you. Yes, he will help you, and he will uphold you with his righteous right hand. Hallelujah. That fear that often creeps upon us when we're at our most lonely place, that fear is, I think, the primary tool the enemy uses to keep us from doing what God has called us to do. Whether it's you as an individual or us as a body of believers, we are called to something. Maybe you have a specific call upon your life where the Lord has spoken to you that says, I want you to minister the gospel. I want you to go to a foreign land. I want you to work in a prison. I want you to sing for me. I want you to teach for me. Maybe you've never had that. Maybe the Lord hasn't called you to something specific in your spirit. You don't have a unique calling on your life, but the Word says we all have some kind of calling. We are all to minister the gospel in our world, in our past. We are all to worship Him, to praise Him, to testify about Him. And all we have, and the only reason we have not to do those things come down to one thing, and that's fear. And that's fear. Fear of what? We don't want to be alone. And that's particular here in America, in the West. We feel like we have to have people around us. We have to have friends who love us. We have to be accepted. We have to fit in, don't we? We have to go with the flow and swim with the current. And sometimes we're called to not. We're called to stand out. We're called to be something that the world might frown upon. And wow, right now, aren't we frowned upon by the world? It's topsy-turvy. You know, we're watching the news the other day and talking about Loudoun County, Virginia, and right outside of our nation's capital, some weirdo stuff keeps going on in the school systems, and the normal stuff is frowned upon. The world's upside down. I said to my wife, we should call it Bizarro County, Virginia, but that's really becoming what's typical of America, where what the Lord has said is right, the world is saying is wrong. And that makes us feel very secluded, doesn't it? Very alone. So we're afraid. We're afraid. The Lord tells us to fear not. The world tells us, well, you better be afraid because we're not going to like you very much if you don't act the way you're supposed to act. If you don't act the way the world tells you is right, then bad things are going to happen, so we get afraid. There's nations in this world where speaking the name of Jesus Christ might get your head cut off. We don't have that. What are we afraid of? We're afraid of being made fun of a little bit. We're afraid of being ostracized a little bit. There's parts of this country where you get thrown in prison for going to church or having a church or having a Bible in your suitcase when you go there. You can get thrown in jail. God says He's with us and we shouldn't be afraid, that He will give us strength, that He will help us and support us with His righteous right hand. In the New Testament, in Mark chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 35 through the first verse of chapter 5. This is a story we've all heard, but I'm going to read it. I encourage you to listen with fresh ears. On the same day when evening had come, He said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was, and other little boats were also with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But He was in the stern asleep on a pillow, and they woke and said to Him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then He arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and sea obey Him?" Then they came to the other side of the sea. Now, let's break this down. I like to paraphrase. You all know that. Anyone's heard me speak, I like to paraphrase. I'm going to paraphrase this story. This is what we call the Stevenson translation. I don't know why Jesus wanted to go to the other side of the sea, but he did. He said, let's go over to that side. All right, we'll go over there. And it started a storm, a bad storm. And in the words of James Carville, during Hurricane Katrina, his disciples said, we about to die out here. And Jesus was what? He's sleeping. Brother's been teaching for days. He's been walking everywhere he goes. He's tired. And he's taking a nap in a storm that made the people in the boat think they were going to die. And he's sleeping. And they woke him up and said, fool, why are you sleeping? Don't you care that we're going to die? And he wakes up. What? Oh. Winds stop. Waves stop. And it said there was a great calm. It didn't just stop. It was a great calm. And he says, why don't you have any faith? You think I'm crazy for sleeping. You're crazy for being afraid. These men were with him in the boat. There are little boats all around. They're being thrown around by wind and waves. They're being tossed. They're being waterlogged. I'm sure some of them capsized. I'm sure some of them needed bailed out. They're filling up with water. He's asleep. They're only out there because he said, let's go to the other side. And he's taking a nap. They were scared. They were fearful. And Jesus calmed everything, and there was great calm. There wasn't even a ripple on the water. And so what happened? They were afraid. Verse 41, they feared exceedingly. First they're afraid of the storm, then they're afraid of Jesus who calmed the storm. He can't win with these people. But then it says, they got to the other side. So listen, what I want you to take from this story is God is going to call you to do something or go somewhere. He may not tell you why. He might tell you exactly why. He's going to choose how much to reveal to you or not reveal to you. But you, it's your job to follow him where he says to go. When God says, get in the boat and go to the other side, you get in the boat and go to the other side. You don't look at the forecast. You don't check your bank account. You don't see if you can afford the tickets. You don't pack enough to arrange for every likelihood. It may or may not happen while you're there. You go. When God says to go, you go. And yeah, it might storm along the way. You might look out and see ice on the wing and say, oh, I'm not going to make it to the wherever I'm going. You might have a boat filling up with water. You might have a flat tire. You might get robbed. You might get made fun of. You might get ostracized from your community. But you go when Christ says to go. And you know what? He will strengthen you. He will help you. He will hold you up with his righteous right hand. Christ will say to the storm, peace, be still. And you know what? You'll get to the other side. We didn't read that one person got dead in this boat. We didn't read that one person lost their life or livelihood in these boats that were traveling to the other side. They traveled to the other side because Christ said, let's travel to the other side. And the way they had of getting there was in a boat. Now, these are sailors. These are fishermen. These are professional boat handling men who know what the weather is. They looked out. They know if a storm's coming. You ever been around boat people? Maybe you are boat people. Boat people know when the weather's going to change. They know. They know on a sunny day they can feel it in their knee or smell it on the breeze. They know when the weather's going to change. I don't think there was a man on these boats who didn't know that it was going to storm. But still they went because Christ said, let's go to the other side. And he was fine. He knew they were going to make it. He took a nap. They were scared. They were crying out and they were trembling and shaking and screaming and asking him why he's asleep. He gave them the calm. He gave them great calm. And they made it to the other side. The verse that's in my bathroom that I read this morning was Joshua 1:9, where the Lord says to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That cuts both ways, boys and girls. If your feet take you somewhere they ought not be, God's with you. If you, as we read in Psalm 139, if you make your bed in hell, behold, the Lord is with you there as well. It's a lot of times our own stubbornness and bad choices, bad decisions that take us places we shouldn't go or have us do things we ought not do. And as children of God, He is with us even in those moments. Sometimes it's circumstances that we don't always understand that we find ourselves in. Might not be through any work of our own, but bad things seem to just keep happening for a while. Sister Dean, I'm going to tell on you. Many, many years ago, you were testifying about something. I don't even remember what it was, that something the Lord was bringing you and your family through. And I remember you said these words, it's hard. It's stinking hard. When it's hard, He's with you. When it's easy, He's with you. Sometimes we forget that too, don't we? Hey, I'm rolling in the cash. I got a job, got a fancy new car. I'm doing great. God is with you. God is with you. I don't know how I'm going to pay the electric bill this month. I'm not sure where my next meal's coming from. My kids hate me, and my parents hate me, and my dog hates me, and I just can't catch a break. God is with you. God is with you. We always know that God is with us and we're not alone. How do we keep that here? How do we keep that here in the front of our minds? How do we do that? And that comes down to knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. Knowing that you are a child of God. This is something that maybe no one else is going to tell you, but you have to tell yourself that you are a child of the Most High God. Why would He leave you alone? Why would He leave you alone? He won't. He cares about you. Joe, God cares about you. Myla, God cares about you. Barb, God cares about you. We're not alone because God cares about each and every one of us. Three places in the Bible, two in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament, He says that He will never leave us nor forsake us. I'm not going to walk away from you, and I'm not going to ignore you. I'm not going to just let you flounder. I'm not going to let you fight the fight, walk the walk, run the race, however you want to say it, on your own. I care about you. Three times he says the exact same thing in the Bible. The prophet Isaiah wrote in chapter 43, verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." It's at those times we feel the most alone, when we feel like the world is just flooding over us and we can't breathe. We can't find our way to the surface. You know what I'm talking about? Or we feel like there's flames all around us and we're walking through the fire, and we've all been there. But what this is telling us, what the prophet is saying, when you go pass through the waters, you will be underwater sometimes. He doesn't say if, he says when. When you pass through the water, and when you pass through the water, you're going to get wet. You're going to get wet, but you won't drown. When you go through the fire, not if, but when you go through the fire, you'll feel the heat, but you won't get burned. You'll go through the fire. You'll go through the water. You won't drown. You won't get burned. You might get wet and you might feel the heat, but you're going to survive. You're going to survive because God is with us. God will protect us. God will be that fourth man walking around in the furnace while you're in there not getting burned. Psalm 56, verses 8 through 11. The psalmist says, "You number my wanderings. Put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" This is one of my six favorite words in the Bible. What can man do to me? What are we afraid of? We're afraid of being alone. What makes us alone? Everyone rejecting us. What makes everyone reject us? Being different. Doing something that society doesn't like. So we get afraid, so we don't do what God calls us to do. We have all the support we need in the world, right? All these dear friends and people who accept us because we do what the world wants us to do. We have people. Well, what happens when the going gets rough? Where are those people? Where are those people then? They're nowhere because their friendship is so shallow that they don't really love you. On the other hand, if you do exactly what God has asked you to do, be the ones who are called out, as the word church means, the called out ones, the ones who are not what the government says, who are not what society says, the ones who are a little, what the word says, peculiar, then we get ostracized, then we get made fun of. But at the end of the day, what can man do to you? Hurt your feelings? Boo-hoo. Hurt your feelings. That's about it. That's what man can do to you. Hurt your feelings. What can God do to you? Well, a lot worse than hurt your feelings. But the good news is, what he wants to do is a whole lot better. What he wants to do is enrich you, to lift you up, to give you life and life more abundantly, to give you hope for a future that far outshines the boundaries of time and this age as the world knows it. Live for the Lord and know that you are His child, that you are His child, that you are Jesus' brother and sister, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, heirs to all the Father has. And yeah, you got to share it all with Joe. And Joe's got to share it all with you. There's a lot to share. We are not alone. We are not alone. I don't have a watch or my phone. I don't know how long I've spoken. But I'm going to ask you all to stand with me. And I'm going to read a couple verses that I did not give Sister Trish to put up. So just hear them. And I want you to know that just because Pastor Tracy's not here today, the altars are still open. And I want you to search your heart right now and first ask yourself, have I ever accepted the gift of salvation that Christ has offered to me? Have I offered that family, or have accepted that family bond that He has offered me? If not, come to the altar and give yourself to the Lord today and become one of His children. If you feel like you're alone and your heart just needs to cry out to Him, this is the place to do it. Guys, I have said 100 times that there is a difference between that chair in the front row and 1 foot in front of it. This is where we do business with our God. These are the front lines right here. If you're feeling alone, if you're feeling like you're in the storm and you need that perfect calm that only Christ can provide, come up and take care of that business this morning. For in the Old Testament, in the past, we read many times over and over and over again to not be afraid because we're not alone, because He's with us. In the New Testament, they had Christ, God incarnate, with them physically right there at their side to say to the wind and to the waves, peace, be still. But He gave us a hope for the future as well. In John 14, verse 15 through 18, Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So even after Christ left this earth, He sent us the Holy Spirit. He sent us the helper that we need, who will abide with us forever. Fear not, for I am with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Peace, be still. I will be with you and dwell in you forever. This is the promise that we have from our God, that we are not and will not be alone. One second. The Lord is tugging on your heart. Listen to Him. What can man do to you? Here you're in a place where of love and acceptance, of tolerance, of we're not no judgment here. This is a judgment-free zone. The Lord is tugging at your heart. Call, because no one's going to make fun of you. Come up. Come up. In a minute, we're going to pray for Brother Henry. But right now, I just want to pray and thank the Lord for what He's done here this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the promise that we are not alone. We thank You for the promise that You are with us, that You will strengthen us and help us. Help us through Your Spirit, who will abide with us forever, Lord. We thank You, we praise You for it, God. In Jesus' name.